from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
How'd that go?
I never watched this. I don't know if it was good or not.
Let's channel, very literally, our brothers in Chicago. If we got hit up by the Harris campaign and they said, hey, we heard you guys are needle movers and have, you know, Kamala Harris on. Of course. Equal opportunity. And the Trump campaign hits and they said, well, we'd like to join D'Lo and Casey too. Mm. Would you want? Because I don't know how much of, I got to see a good chunk of this. I don't know how much of it you got to see. Mm-hmm. But his appearance at the National Association of Black Journalists was about everything most normal thinking people thought it would be.
So I'll say this. I'm not against him being on a show or on a platform or a podium or anything like that. Only if, like, you call him on his stuff. Like, I wouldn't have him up and be like, oh yeah, that's a great point. Da, 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 da. I'd be like, no, why did you do this? Why did you do that? Why is your views this?
Well,
didn't
well
you
he finds that disrespectful.
Then that's would, how they all start. Right, then walk out and leave. That's how it would be.
And you know what? That was the whole thing about the invite that upset me. And that's because we were here. I have no idea what was actually happening. Mm-hmm. But there was a variety of, like, roaring laughter and groaning going on from the crowd at various points through the conversation. And again, I couldn't, you know, you hear it, you don't see it. Mm-hmm. Like, what the hell is going on there? Mm. Like, he's questioning Kamala Harris's blackness and you hear, like, chuckles.
Yeah. And I'd be like, well, we're not doing that here.
Not from the host. Right. Not from the host. This, it wasn't from them. It was from the audience. Uh-huh. And it was really bizarre. Yeah. I feel like talking to Donald Trump would be like talking to Draymond Green.
No, you're not far off.
It would just be like lie after lie after lie after lie.
And then that would be the part of me after I think this through, like, why even have him on? Like, it would be a waste of time. Would it be entertaining to some or whatever? Sure, and we're in entertainment business, but it would be a waste of time. I don't think it would be productive in any way. So I'd probably, like, when you get down to it, be like,
He says the word black in such a funny way too. I love the black people. He doesn't say black. Like, black.
Where is he from again?
Donald, is he from New York? From, like, New Jersey or something?
Yeah. Or is he up higher in the Northeast? Like, is he from Connecticut or something like that? I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, either way, he hasn't lived wherever he's from in a long time, so I don't know why he would sound like that still.
As far as I know, he's from Mar-a-Lago. Donald. So Donald is from Queens.
Oh my God, I would have never thought that. I would have never said Queens.
Take me to Queens at once.
I would have never, you would have gave me 100 guesses. I wouldn't have said
man
Queens,
from Queens. Let's see. Man. Donald, yeah, was born 1946 at Jamaican Hospital in Queens.
That is, you know, insane.
Tina Charles was born at Jamaica Hospital in Queens.
It feels like 50 Cent was probably born there too.
50? Let's find out.
Jamaica, Queens.
Oh, that'd be great. 50 Cent and Donald from born in the same hospital. That's better than Stephen LeBron. 50, Queens. See if it gives me the hospital. It doesn't give me the hospital. Okay. But he was born in Queens, South Jamaica neighborhood. Mm. Math works. 50 began boxing at the age of 11.
I could see that. He's aggressive. Aggressive.
Yeah, it was a wild time in Chicago, man.
Call
Marshall.
Hey, buddy, yeah, give us
what the hell is going on out there?
To answer your original question, though, that's a good question. I love to talk to Mike. You know who I thought of when you said it? I thought Allen Iverson.
Oh, I could see that. Your passion for talking to Allen Iverson would be crazy.
Yeah. Because
Allen might be like, man, this dude on my team, I can't remember. You'd be like, yeah, it was Jeffrey Thomas.
He it went was Jermaine to, Jones.
So yeah, Jermaine he's like, Jones. He like, and
it was Rodney Buford. Yeah, I remember that play. Yeah. That's a good one.
He was like, yeah, I threw the ball behind my back. No, actually, you didn't throw it behind your back. You threw it under your legs. I think that would be a great one.
AI is
particularly
a good one
for you.
I'm thinking, you know who, actually, you know who I love to talk to is Barry Bonds.
That feels like it'd be a tough, well, maybe not. Maybe
it depends. Once again, it depends on the day, though. It feels like Barry speaks a little bit more freely nowadays. Like
he's destroying the Negro Leagues one pitcher at a time.
Ken Griffey did not find that.
He did not at all. He looked at him. And he's playing it cool. What'd he say? Like, I'll take a walk. Or what'd he say? Like, I don't remember what Ken Griffey Jr. said, but his that video is classic.
Yeah. Bonds would be a good one.
See, Dr. David says The Rock would be a great interview, and I don't think he would.
I don't think he would either.
Because The Rock is...
Dude's a politician
now. He's a politician mm-hmm. now, mm-hmm. which is funny because the interview I would always want is Barack Obama. An actual politician. But I feel like when President Obama talks to you, he doesn't talk like a politician. He talks like a politician, but not like he's politicking.
Right.
The Rock talks like he's politicking.
Yeah.
And
that means Obama's just the best.
I started looking at The Rock like, I think The Rock's lying to me. I don't think The Rock is telling. Yeah, we put the power back in the fans' hands. All right, Rock. All right, man.
See, I'm going to be thinking about that all day.
Prior to recent events, the person who I thought I could probably get a really good interview out of was Vince McMahon.
Mm.
Like, if Vince McMahon's people came to you and said, you got an hour, and he's going to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I think that would be fire.
You know who...
That's all.
That would... No, that... Yeah, before all that stuff. But that was a good call. I'd love to... Understand what I'm saying, everybody. I was looking forward to that Netflix thing that was supposed to happen, mm-hmm. if it was going to be really real, because mm-hmm. I wanted to really know what was going on with this man. Mm-hmm. Now, he obviously can kick rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But you know who? I don't know how I'd feel about this guy. And this, you're gonna give me a dirty look. It's Will Smith. I get more politician vibes from Will Smith than I'd get a real interview. But I feel bad saying that, because I don't know if he's just genuinely a super positive guy, and I'm giving him flack for that.
You know what I think Will is an entertainer.
Mm.
And so when you listen to Will talk, I think one of his like mechanisms, and we all have mechanisms for being when we're uncomfortable, mm-hmm. or when we're talking about something that's difficult, Will laugh. Mm. So when his book came out, which I love Will Smith. When his book came out, he did an interview with Oprah, and one thing that really stood out was he'd answer a question. And he's like you can tell he's on, right? Mm-hmm. Like he's not like chill. He's not doing a show like we are. He's you can look at him and you can see this man is on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And his mechanism is to laugh. So he'll tell the story. He'll tell this, you know, story about his dad and how, you know, he thought his dad was a coward. And then he'd find some line and he'd find some way to end it where away he'd go, you know, like he did. It happened like 10 times before mm-hmm. It happened a handful of times before I started watching. Like, he's really laughing a lot in this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it was because he was talking about stuff that I don't think he had ever talked about publicly. Mm-hmm. And that was his way of coping with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Will is political. I think he's an entertainer. And when he goes on, he's on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look for it, you see it.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in his facial expressions. You could see it in someone's posture. Jazz joked about it with us last night. We were joking about it when we were in line. We're saying, man, you guys are always on. Well, like, you snap into it, like, quick. Like, yeah. You just be walking with your head down, thinking about your dog passing away, and someone goes, I love D-Lo and Casey. All of a sudden, it's like,
mm-hmm.
Of course, that doesn't happen to me. It happens to him. Tell Casey I said hi.
Are you out of your mind? This literally happened last night where they said, what's up to you?
Did not happen.
Yeah, it did when the show was over. What are we talking about?
So, okay. No, she thought I was you.
Oh, that was a different part. That was a different
That lady was like, KC. And I'm looking at her. No, she's looking at me. She's going, KC. No. And it's like she didn't know who the other guy was.
That's not how that
Bro, I swear to God, that is exactly what happened. Call Io. I swear to God, that's exactly what happened. KC. And then she looks at me and she goes, no. Hey, you. No, it's the other one.
No.
I swear to you, well, that's what she said.
That's not even.
And
the,
I said,
that's not even the time I was.
I didn't
about.
Even go. I didn't even go. No, I'm D-Lo. I go. No, KC is up there. I'm his partner. She goes, D-Lo. Yeah. I said, like, KC's right there though. She goes, yeah.
She didn't speak to me. She spoke to you.
She thought I was you.
And then when she found out it wasn't, she was like, oh, I'm good. Here's D-Lo. I'm good.
She thought
she didn't say nothing to me.
She thought I. Well, you were gone. You were five steps ahead of me. You were racing out of the Golden One Center. Can't blame you. Can't blame
Let
you.
Get the hell out of here.
Good idea.
Get out of here.
And get out of there quick enough. Lollygagging around with Cleveland, and it was like, oh, Lord, get me out of here.
But, yeah, I like, well, you know who, oh, man, I just had a thought of somebody that I thought would be really good. And I lost it. It'll come to me at some point.
One day we'll get a massive interview.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Ramsey said he's interviewed Terrell Owens. I've interviewed Terrell Owens too.
T.O.'s interesting. I've never interviewed
him. He's one that you wanna navigate a little bit.
Mm.
What's the best interview we've ever had? Our first one with Rick was
really good.
Rick our first conversation with Rick was really, really good.
Yeah. Rick was really good.
I thought our Donnell Rawlings conversation
was
fun.
I can't. What I'm trying to think of right now is a bad one. I never came away. I don't know how the viewers looked at it, but I never came away on any of the interviews saying that was rough. Been fortunate so far. I'm sure we'll have one at some point. Yeah, I'm not saying we're going to bat 1,000 the entire time.
Terrence Davis interview was good.
Yeah. Our Lindsey Harding interview
was
good.
Lindsey was really good.
When Yo was on, that was good.
Rick Adelman.
Rick Adelman was really good. Oh, that's what I was going to say. Chris Webber was really good at that one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
That might be the one. I'd like to talk to Chris.
Okay.
If I could get like an hour with Chris. We could get an hour with Chris.
Yeah.
And just let him talk. Let him comment on some things. And Noah's, you know, always love. And if I ask a question, like, you know, I'm just curious. Like, I'm getting a chance to talk to Chris Webber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was your thoughts here?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
There, I thought on the for those who were at the book signing and the one-on-one he did with Kevin Johnson, I thought Chris was phenomenal. He could have, I think that was an hour. I could have listened to Chris talk for.
I thought Kevin did a good job too.
He did,
because he made sure to hit the high points and shut up. And sometimes that's a really important component to talking to somebody, is not talking. And Chris got going and he let Kevin lead the conversation, but when Chris got going, man, he was, yeah, he was terrific.
Yeah, Jason Williams is actually pretty interesting. Now, he does like podcasts every now and then, and he seems like a guy that you got to get going a little bit too. And once you do, he's entertaining. He's got comedy to him and everything. And like those two guys, I wouldn't mind talking to those two guys together.
Having oh my god, Jason Williams and Chris Webber at the same time. Yeah. That'd be fire. We'll come back. We're going to talk to James Hamm. He's always entertaining at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Stealing with KC. Brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Zay says, who's the biggest guest that flaked on you?
E-40.
Lyndon Brown. I'm sorry. Sorry. Yeah, probably.
I talked to the person that day because I let him know we was. I was like, man, we out of here, man. We got to dip. And then they're like, he didn't show up? He's like, you still there? Nah,
man. Oh, bro, it was 7:15.
I was like, you're like, oh man. Maybe I'm sorry that happened. Maybe we could reschedule. I just didn't say anything. I wasn't in the mood to say anything. I wouldn't have been very nice. So,
let's see. E40, Kofi, we've all supposed to. Jamel Hill.
I'd say probably 40.
Jesse's boy, Brian Scalabrine.
Don't do that.
Yeah, it's definitely E40.
Yeah.
The weird one was that one was like set. Set.
Like, and talked to them on Monday.
Yeah.
It was like, good.
I don't know. I wonder if there was some collusion going on.
Yeah, kind of.
No, because we could talk about it, bro. Because like Danny really came up to us one time, like, stop playing music. And then Shasky and those guys are dropping a whole ass music video or whatever. And then we're supposed to get E40. And then all of a sudden he's on 95.7.
Collusion. Well, I don't know.
Shout out. What wrestlers have we had on? We were supposed to have Drew McIntyre. I don't think we ever really... Did we have Drew McIntyre on this show?
I don't think so. We were supposed to.
Yeah, I don't think it ever like followed through.
The only wrestler we ever, at least when I've been here or whatever, is Ricky Starks.
That was the only one?
Yeah. SmackDown.
That's a top five interview, too, I think we've had.
No, that was really good.
Yeah, once, I mean, I know like the, like I can show that video and they don't know who Ricky Starks is to people and they'll laugh. Mm. Like they will instantly laugh at the video.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not even just that, but he actually like, said some things.
Yeah, the interview itself like was really good. Mm-hmm. It was really, really good. Yeah. Okay. Anybody else want to say nice things about us?
The floor is yours.
What do you hate about us?
What do you? 10 things I hate about you. Boy, I'm looking at this list of great moments that we have to narrow down. And, man, that Alcatraz conversation is just screaming at me.
Man.
That was just a legendary day.
I think that one's my, like, top favorite. That's my number one, I think. Stuff. Like, if someone came up to me and was like, hey, what do you think about the Alcatraz? I'm not, we already solved it on this show. Like, I know how it ended.
Yeah, we figured it out.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's number one, but Phil from jail was really good.
No, Phil from jail was, hey, guys, I got to go.
And then, like, the security guard says, time's up. Are you in jail?
OJS was great.
Yeah, man. I was selling weed outside the Golden One Center and got...
Some guy snitched on
me. Some guy snitched on me.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Women's volleyball is on right now. Indoor women's volleyball.
There's a pro.
They're
I was getting yelled at, by the way, by Coach. Coach Molly doesn't really. She yelled at me through text like four consecutive texts.
What did you do? You didn't even
I didn't do anything. She's yelling at me because of you.
What'd I say?
There is a pro volleyball league.
I know. I said they're on. They signed a deal with ESPN. What is Coach Molly talking about?
I don't know, but she's yelling at me about it. And she's going to hear this like on Stephen Brown time. And yeah, she said. Sent me like, tell Kenny to catch up. Like, why do you tell Kenny to catch up?
They signed a deal with, a media rights deal with ESPN, like in February. Come on, Coach.
Come Sacramento ain't got a team. Oh, judo's on. I love judo.
That's when I hit him with a little Puerto Rican judo. Oh, you don't know who
and
God
then when
that
this
is,
ends,
is when they say.
Modern judo. Family will come on, and that'll be good, too.
Till we leave. Well, definitely till we leave today.
Well, yeah, We must have seen, like, seen, I use that term very loosely, like four episodes of Modern Family yesterday.
Yeah. There was a Kings rumor that came out today.
Mm.
I love it.
Well, look.
This is the one we're talking about. I love it.
So
I'm not mad at it, too, but okay. It is with a caveat.
I know what it is. Mm. Fill me in because you were looking for it earlier. And then you found it, but didn't give me the specific details on it. So let's go over this.
There was a report out there that the Blazers are the report centered on. Well, it was just the Blazers. What are the Blazers going to do? The big part of the report was Jeremy Grant and the Lakers, and the Lakers' pursuit potentially of Jeremy Grant. And then they asked about what they're going to do with Anthony Simons, and then they just said the front court in general. And when they got to the front court. They said there's some interest by the Kings in Rob Williams. And I'd be all for that. Now, here's caveat.
Okay.
I'd be all for that for pretty much nothing. Like, I'm not as much, and Jesse, you know I like Rob Williams, but.
Oh, here it comes.
Well, the injuries. I don't know.
Oh, yeah,
I don't even know if he's going to be able to keep playing.
His time management thing is very. Peculiar.
Yeah, I don't know how much longer he's going to keep playing with the way things have been going on. So I don't want to give up any rotational pieces or anything that I could potentially use in another trade to get Rob Williams.
I don't think you have to do that. If I'm not mistaken, he's only making about 12 mil or whatever. So you can make that work however you want.
Mm. Just this year?
Yeah, like I think when Boston signed him, because he's still in the Boston contract, it was like 4 years, 48 or something like that, I believe.
Okay.
I like the idea of the move, though. Like, if you could give up pretty much nothing to get Rob Williams in here and see if maybe you can keep him healthy and him being a backup center. And he's a backup center who, depending on the situation, whether maybe Sabonis is being able to shoot a little bit more than mm-hmm. than he has, or maybe he fouls out, or maybe whatever the case may be, Rob Williams potentially can close games for you.
That's what I look for
in some of these signings. He can close games.
He'd be the perfect fit for this team as far as a backup center and all that. Because like say he comes out for Sabonis, comes in for Sabonis and all that. I'm not gonna say his passing is as good, but he could pass the rock too. Like that was his thing with the Celtics. They played through him a bit or whatever, dish it out to the 3-point line. Like you wouldn't, it wouldn't be like this massive drop off as far as how the Kings are playing on the court, I don't think.
Right. And
Rob's got 25 left for the record. It doesn't look like there's any options. Yeah, 20. He's got 12.4 next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 12.4 next year and 13.2 the following season.
And Rob may not be able to, with the injuries and stuff like that, be a lead starting center.
That
somewhere.
Might be wrong. I'm sorry. I can't tell the way that they do this anymore. It's 2024 and 2025 are great, but 2025 is the only year, right? Because we're in 2024 now. Uh-huh. So this is the 24-25 season.
The upcoming season, yep, yep.
So that has to mean that it's just the 13.2 left, not the 12. Unless I'm misunderstanding that, because it seems like that would be the 25-26 season. Maybe I should just shut the hell up. Maybe I should know what the hell I'm doing before I turn on a microphone. I know they changed... They changed the way they highlighted this, so it leads me to...
He's got one more year after this year. He's got 2 years
so
left.
It is, he does have the 12
this season and the next season.
Okay. You see why that's confusing, though?
I got you. Spot Track has been kind of weird since
it
that
has.
One time.
Get Keith on the phone.
I got you. I'm going to text him. Keith,
this
what the
is
hell,
why
bro?
You. This is why your pocket watching season...
Thank you.
Hell.
Thank you. That's right. You know what? When Spot Track switched up is when I started to go down.
Well, I mean, maybe that's because you were always looking on Spot Track. I wasn't.
And Abe came in and Hulkamania this whole thing and took his title home.
Abe doesn't have the title.
WrestleMania 9.
Why do people keep saying
WrestleMania 9. It's all over the internet.
It literally is not.
Can't wait to Casey's episode of Icons.
So does that doesn't change anything, though, right?
No, not for me. I'm good. Rob Williams, and I was going to say, with his injuries, maybe this is the best role for a guy like Rob Williams, where he can't start because he just, maybe it's too much on the knees, you know, too much on the body. He can't hold up anything else like that. But if you manage his minutes as a bench guy, that may be the role for him moving forward, where you can maximize who he is and who he can be in this league. And this would be a perfect place for him. Once again, if you could not really give up anything of significance, I don't know how that would work. I don't know if it's second rounders or what. If you could do that and get Rob Williams, that'd be a good look for Monty McNair.
But you'd have there to, you don't have the
You don't have the ability
I don't think
to take
you have the ability to absorb the contract without trading something. I don't think. We could ask James that.
And
I don't think they have the ability to do that.
And you can't move Jaden McDaniels till like December or something, right? Because he came over in the trade with Davion and him. So he can't be involved in a trade right now, right?
No, I don't think so. I think the 6 month thing applies to someone you signed. I mean, there have been guys who get traded four times in a week.
Well, look, I'm thinking about it right now. How did Chris Paul get to the Wizards? It was the Brad Beal deal, and then he was traded to the Warriors, right? Is that what happened? Chris Paul was on the Suns, Brad Beal to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Chris Paul for Jordan Poole to the Warriors. So I guess you can get traded.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yep. Yep.
So maybe you use his contract that brings it down a little bit. For whatever reason in my mind, I have that he makes like $6 million.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know the Kings. Like, I don't know where the Kings, because the Kings' money for signing someone and Kings' money for absorbing a contract. Those numbers aren't the same. We can ask James. James knows everything. But it's time for the Real Brothers of Sacramento.
Get Kobe Jones in there too.
Okay. Wow. That's KC hates Kobe. That's fine.
Maybe Alex Lynn, too, even though I like Alex Lynn. Well, I mean, you can't have all those guys there.
What's up, Lewis?
Hey.
Hey, fellas. You know I love a big man more than anybody. I wanted us to do in the draft was pick anybody 6'10 or above. I'm that dude, right? But here we go. I'm sorry, please. We don't need a $12 million a year backup simp, especially when we sent Quaid packing unceremoniously, and he got a ring now with the championship squad.
Who did we send? Who are you talking about?
What? I'm talking about Nemius. Nemius Quaid, right? He wasn't good enough for our squad. He signed with Boston. He played about 10 minutes a night or so. He didn't play much in the playoffs, so nobody really saw it. But that dude was on that squad, and he couldn't be on our squad, right? He wasn't good enough for us. Now here we are trying to fish around for a $12 million a year backup center. Sign me off for that, okay? Right.
His connection's not great.
No, his connection's a little rocky.
That's tough. Gosh.
No. Lewis is this is my new favorite part of the day. This is my new favorite part of the day.
I had to catch myself.
Lewis, a connection was a little rocky today, but we get the gist of that. You
Miss Kato was not playing 10 minutes a night for the Boston Celtics, by the way.
Boy.
He might have played 10 minutes in the playoffs.
He might have played 10 minutes total in the season.
Hey, how did Lewis start that call?
Soren, I don't know, man, what?
Oh, man.
Wow.
I think Lewis might have been on earphones and they kept moving, and that's what made the connection a little rocky. But we got the gist of it.
And I'll ask you guys what Lewis's concern is. Is $12 million a year too much for a backup center on this roster?
It ain't my money, pal.
If it was, would you want to spend? Would you want to allocate those funds to that position? I'll tell you this, or I asked you, and then I just
You tell me. No, you tell me.
I'm just about winning. I'm not worried about the price. Like as long as it's not putting me in second apron and all that other stuff, I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about winning and getting a team that can get me as far as possible in the postseason. And if Rob Williams, if I believe like he elevates us to a certain degree or gives us the depth that we're looking for and things of that nature, I'm not worried about whether he's making $2 million or $12 million. I'm worried about right now being as good as I possibly can be.
Yeah, I think that's the way you've got to look at this. This isn't like a Brandon Ingram deal, mm-hmm. right? This isn't where this isn't the moves that we've talked about in the past where it's like, okay, is this the one? Mm-hmm. Because if you're going to make a move of that caliber, you have to believe it's the one. That's not what acquiring Rob Williams is. It's a move that you believe makes us better. And, you know, there are no sure things, but you've got to be really confident in a move that's a $25 million backup to your very expensive all-pro mm-hmm. NBA center. Mm-hmm. I really don't have a problem with it, to be honest with you. The thing that is concerning, and I try not to do this because I feel like you can bring this conversation. I feel like the load management, injury management, that stuff that surrounds Rob Williams is very odd, and it's almost unique. Like in a league that consists of injury management, his is very unique and it's very odd. And I don't know where he's at. I don't know if it's chronic. I don't know if this is just a forever thing. I don't know what it is. But at the same time, it's 2 years.
Yeah.
And really. You know, I forgive me for talking about, you know, these brothers this way, but it's really a year because in your final year, you just become an asset. Mm. Yeah. You lose the right to be a player and you immediately become an asset when you're on an expiring contract, and teams that are looking to shed salary can suddenly trade for a contract that I think it was $13 million or something next year that expires.
Yeah.
Some people will take that.
Yeah. Rob, he got hurt. I don't know the day, but this was published on November 10th, 2023, where he elected to undergo season-ending knee injury or surgery on a knee injury that I think he sustained in the game. So it wasn't the one before, wasn't fixed.
Okay.
He sustained, the way I read it, a different knee injury and had season-ending surgery.
So, but wait a minute. That's with Portland?
Yeah.
Okay, but he had this stuff dating back to Boston.
Yeah, he had issues.
Okay.
Yep. He's had injury history for a while. So, and even if this is like a quote-unquote new injury, it may still be related to he's had chronic issues.
All those injuries are related in some way, shape, or form, almost certainly.
So, I definitely would take a chance on him, but, you know, I don't want to give up much for him because I don't know what he has left in the tank injury-wise.
And it would have to be for nothing for you. Like,
yeah.
The guy, the Colby Jones, it'd have to be.
Right. And I don't want to, I'm clearly not saying these guys are nothing, but I'm just saying they're not in the rotation right now.
Yeah.
So if a Colby Jones and a Jalen McDaniels were enough to, you know, match the salary enough where you could absorb the rest of the salary, then for sure I'd be all good with that. Absolutely.
Yeah, I love Rob too, but you can't trade a Kevin Herter or whatever for him.
Right. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if you can trade a Alex Lynn. Like, because I talked you about him.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you could do that.
I don't think you can if you have concerns about Rob Williams.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And can you, do you still have the article in front of you?
Yeah.
Can you give me the line again? It said they were interested, they being the Sacramento Kings. It said they were interested in Rob Williams.
There we go. Where'd it go? There we go. In the Western Conference, because they were talking about the Knicks might have been interested. I think they said the Pelicans or whatever. But they said in the Western Conference, the Sacramento Kings are another team that has registered interest in Williams, sources said. 6'9 center, I thought he was taller than 6'9, would provide immediate rebounding and defensive depth in the front court behind Domantas Sabonis. And then they talked about where the Kings ranked defensively.
Interesting. Okay.
So really kind of a passing statement, like, oh, I've heard they've got interest. That doesn't mean they...
That's the point of the offseason we're at.
Right.
All of the statements are passing at this point.
So, yeah, I would like to take a shot on him to see if he still has anything left and can stay healthy.
Okay.
If you're Portland, why would you hold on to Rob Williams? Maybe the same.
Why would you? Probably because you have to. Like, I don't know that that's someone that they're trying to hold on to. It might just be someone that they can't move. I mean, I don't know that that team has a firm grasp of what's ahead of them yet. I think they have. They've got talented guys on their team.
Absolutely.
But does anyone think they won't be the worst team in the conference?
I know.
Am I missing someone obvious?
Because Utah might be down there too. But I think I think Portland.
Right, I don't even know. It looks like right now I say that.
It looks like Portland is on track to be the worst team in the league in the Western Conference.
Oh, okay.
Looks like they're on track.
But
it's interesting because they do have a lot of talent.
That's the thing. Their roster doesn't match that thought. But where are you going? What are you doing? I don't know, man. This might be it for Chauncey. Like, Chauncey's got a. I know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you give grace to Chauncey because he thought he was signing up for something that he didn't actually sign up for. I don't know what Chauncey was privy to. I don't know what Chauncey thought was the future of this franchise when he took over as the head coach. Mm-hmm. But you've got to make. Are we going to give him leeway? And he's going to be the guy to develop our future group, or what are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
Because again, you have talented guys there, and one of their biggest problems, they're all young.
Yeah.
Right. And that's you know, those are issues that teams like Detroit are going to face, and teams that, you know, I know Wemby is the one. Harrison and Chris Paul were so important to that team because they needed a couple more vets in there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. And wait until that 2031 pick swap gets there.
That's a game changer. That is just a game changer right there. That is something right there that really probably will shift the landscape of basketball in America.
My guess is, if I were running, you know, the insider game, not the insiders in as in Kyle and James, but the insiders as in Woj and Shams, I'd start tracking these 2031 draft picks.
I'm with that.
Like immediately.
Yeah,
Are the hot, you know, who's cooking the 10-year-old circuit right now?
I'm with that.
Because that was the biggest asset acquired in the DeMar DeRozan deal.
That's
pick swap.
It wasn't just the best. It was the only asset.
It was the only asset. Yeah. That's a shoot.
Yeah.
That's a shoot.
That's just amazing to see.
I mean, get them scouts out there. Get them scouts out there.
Let's see. Hold on. I might have an answer for you guys.
Does it feel like as you're looking for some... Wait, I'm sorry. An answer for what question?
The question of the top players and...
Oh, no, sir. No.
I'm doing a mock draft for 2031 sir. Right now.
No.
Well,
make sure to save this in case we're around for... We'd be on like episode 3000 at that point.
What if the Kings miss out on Johnny Payton?
Well,
number one fifth, sixth grader in the class of, I said 2030, because, you know, you'll need a year of college or overseas. So you can't come straight from high school.
Well, it could change by then.
It could.
Too close to Johnny Flynn. I don't think he's going to make it.
Okay, well, what about Jacob Miller and Robert Smith Jr.?
Jacob Miller, I heard he can go. That's what my sources have said. And our sources have never led us wrong.
True.
This Jacob Miller kid could go.
Bro, if they miss out on Peyton Thomas because of DeMar DeRozan, I'm going to be hot.
Yeah, but I heard he's not passing algebra right now, so.
Even started algebra.
It's facts.
He's still.
Kids having trouble during finger painting.
Which one has the NIL deal with Crayola? Which one?
I don't know.
Oh,
I believe it's Tommy Thomas.
Tommy Thomas, I
just had it because the article's here about where he has the deal.
And is the article titled the 2031 draft picks that the Kings messed up on?
That's under that.
Oh, it's under the subheadline. Yeah.
I think you're talking about Christian Fuller. He's the number 11 player.
That's the kid with the NIL with Crayola. Yeah.
I heard Christian Fuller was telling his dad he's not going to play for the Kings.
Ah. All right.
They have this all the way up to 182 kids.
Which one of these kids?
Can we point out this is disturbing?
It's crazy.
Like, this is not okay.
This is crazy.
These kids are 10.
And one of them's going to be winning the title with Wembanyama.
One of them's going to be on draft day. I always dreamed of playing in Sacramento, but...
I remember when Tim Bonteps was talking about me 10 years ago, 7 years ago.
I remember when the Kings made that pick swap for DeMar DeRozan. I knew.
Here we go.
That guy's name is La Tommy.
Well, his name might have been Mason Broyles. He's the number one player in Ohio, fifth grade.
All right.
That's a football name, too. We play middle linebacker one day.
Yeah. He's from Garfield Heights.
Can you imagine how serious you have to take yourself and I guess just be too deep into this job to be like, yeah. The 2031 pick is really going
to
be like...
Well, no, I'm extremely curious as to who ranks the fifth graders.
Oh, it could be John, an accountant. Like, anybody does. Anybody.
He's
like,
determined
oh, no,
this is the best fifth grader in the entire country.
They go to one jam on it tournament or an EBC tournament. They're like, nah, this guy's
the one.
He's the best.
LeBron James tendencies.
The fifth grade. I saw a video of this 13-year-old who was dunking like crazy the other day.
Well, at least you're a teenager. You're probably in high school at that point.
Yeah.
Like high school. Like, bro, we're talking about elementary school.
It's crazy.
But Bontemps knows that's the biggest asset.
This is going to be our wildest payoff. We have to wait 7 years for this.
Kai Brown, he was in the top 10 at the EBC, as I look right here.
We're going to get called into this into the office like, hey, guys, we're ending D'Lo and Casey. No. We got to make it till 2031. You can fire us after 2031. We've got to make it through. We've got to see this bit all the way to the end.
See it through.
What do we do if the Spurs trade the pick swap too?
Oh!
What do we do then?
Well, there's no way they would do that because this is...
Well, this is just too valuable.
Yeah, there's no way you could do that. Absolutely no way.
This is like the Kings traded Wemby.
If they trade the pick swap, do we lose the trade twice?
It's a good call. That's a good call. We'll come back. We have to act like adults because James is going to join us soon. So he'll be with us at the top of the 3 o'clock hour. Steeler and KC brought to you by Sky River Casino on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. Johnny G, I added you to the list. We're adding people to the guest list for the 1,000th episode of D'Lo and KC coming up August 21st. That plan is slowly coming together. Had a big company meeting yesterday. They talked about all of the big promotional events jumping off and didn't even mention the 1,000th episode of D'Lo and KC, but that's all right.
Yeah, I was looking on the list.
No, it wasn't there. It wasn't there, but that's okay. That's okay. They're going to learn.
I'm going to be sick. I'm not going to lie. If we do this show and like it's one of the days where no one's here in the building.
No one's going to be here. I don't even think the tribal chief and the final boss are here. I think they're in San Francisco that day. And I doubt they're going to change their plans to be here for that.
No, parents aren't home. It's lit.
Oh, yeah, that's the Project other part X. Of it. That's the other part of it. The house is empty. I needed permission to get you all in here, and I've got it. Yeah, we up.
It is we litty.
We are all the way up. Like Soren says, this is Michael Scott's 10-year anniversary party. Of course, I think he quit before that party happened and formed the Michael Scott Paper Company.
I thought about that. There's two spots in this building we can move into.
Yeah, there are.
The one right next door and downstairs.
You know this reference.
I remember that. Yeah, I was watching that.
Who in the office quit to join the Michael Scott Paper Company?
Jill. No, Dwight.
Who's Jill?
I think he means Pam when he says Jill.
Does Pam remind you of Jill Adge? Like, why do you keep calling her Jill?
It was Dwight. Dwight's the one. Yeah, that's right. Dwight.
It wasn't Dwight.
It wasn't Jill either, by the way.
It wasn't. That's right. Here comes the Damian Barling Radio Company. Fantastic. It's fantastic.
Me and Casey are arguing over who gets what corner.
That's my work corner. I can't work and relax in the same corner.
Who said that, Dwight?
No, man, Dwight. No.
Take a lap.
No.
Take a lap.
Come on, man. Anyways, in any event, that's coming up Wednesday, August 21st. We are very much looking forward to it. Jesse, the Hall of Fame game is tomorrow.
It is. I don't expect any starters to play.
Are you ready for some football? Who's the headliner this year?
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know who the...
Let me go ahead and pull
it
up. I know
Patrick Willis is going in, but he's not the... Right?
He should be. Yeah, I think he is going in.
I don't think he's the main event, though.
See, Pro Football Hall of Fame.
I met Patrick Willis once. He is a very nice person.
He seems like a very
a tremendous individual.
Let's see. Who is
Dwight Freeney, Randy Gredishar, Devin Hester, Andre Johnson, Steve McMichael, Julius Peppers, and Patrick Willis.
Steve McMichael's story is crazy.
He's a former Nitro announcer. Yeah. Former member of the Four Horsemen. Yeah. How many NFL Hall of Famers are also members of the Four Horsemen? One. The answer is one. Okay. Steve McMichael.
How did Steve McMichael become part of the Four Horsemen?
Steve McMichael was a part of Lawrence Taylor's entourage at WrestleMania 11.
That's right.
And
I'm the only one that remembers and likes that one.
You are the only one who likes that one.
I only like the last two matches, too.
I think that was Undertaker and King Kong Bundy or something.
I only remember the last two matches and Salt and Pepper's performance and Pam Anderson and Jenny McCarthy.
Yep. The main event was spectacular. But the main event meaning Sean and Diesel, not Bam Bam and Lawrence Taylor.
That was the main event.
But Steve McMichael was a part of that. He did a spot with, at the time he was known as Kama. Everyone remembers him as the Godfather.
Yeah.
Or Papa Shango. They did a spot together that went over really, really well. And they started looking at Steve McMichael like, man, this dude might be able to go. And so they talked to him a little bit. kind of made him an offer and they didn't feel like he was super serious. And then all of a sudden he winds up on Nitro. You know, he's brought in as like the announcer when Nitro started. And then he starts wrestling a little bit and eventually joins the Four Horsemen with his wife, Deborah, who later divorced him and dated Steve Austin, who later divorced her.
A lot of that goes on in wrestling.
It's all over the place.
Who was Austin with afterwards?
No one. Oh. No, like no one of... Yeah, I mean, he has a person now. No,
he divorced her, and he,
no, they did split up.
But he got with. And then no, now he's.
Yeah, no, now he's just with. I don't know if it's his wife or his girl or what it is, but I don't think it's anyone who was in wrestling.
Shout out,
but yeah, that's how. I mean, he was he wasn't very good. Like, he was not good in wrestling at all, but he was part of the Four Horsemen. He was really charismatic on the microphone. He wasn't horrible to listen to. I truthfully didn't realize he was like a Hall of Fame caliber football player. Like, I knew he was a part of the Chicago Bears. I knew he was I didn't think he was a scrub or anything. I just didn't realize he was a Hall of Fame level player. Yeah. And obviously his story now with, ALS.
Yeah. I think that's what it
is. Man. Just brutal.
Yeah.
It's just brutal. So he's, they're doing something, I believe, like by his bedside or something like that, to where like he'll be involved like remotely. So they're working him in somehow.
I would think my thought at least is that he closes it out. Although looking at that list, I feel like it could and probably should be Patrick Willis, but I don't. I probably ain't doing that.
As the closer, I mean, my first thought would be Devin Hester. Who's going to give the best speech? Dwight Freeney, Devin Hester?
So Devin Hester, because the Bears are playing, is probably going to be the one.
Good call.
I would say Patrick Willis, but I'm probably biased too. I'm biased.
You are.
I think Patrick Willis. You absolutely are. Patrick Willis, am I biased saying he's the best player out of this group?
Dwight Freeney's really good.
He is.
He's really good. He is. I don't think it's a gross statement, but I think Dwight Freeney is phenomenal.
Andre Johnson's going in.
Did you say Julius Peppers is on that list too? Julius Peppers is nasty too.
I think he might be the one.
This low key a really good list. Julius Peppers might be right. Underrated. Yeah, Julius Peppers, and he got some charisma. But I think Kenny's on to something with the Bears. Like who you say it was, the Bears and the Texans tomorrow? Mm-hmm. Yeah, if this thing is centering around the Chicago Bears. Yeah. Then you might be on to something with Devin Hester. But, yeah, we might be underestimating Julius Peppers.
Julius Peppers made two decade teams, 2000s, 2010s. Mm.
Julius Peppers was the truth.
Man.
He was the truth.
Yeah, boy, nasty.
Yeah.
Man, there's some good ball players in this. Shocking take right there. The class going into the Hall of Fame is really good. Boy, it's not easy to do this job for a living. You really gotta work.
While we're bringing up the Hall of Fame, I got to bring it up every year. They disrespected T.O.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like T.O. too, since he retired, like he's just been disrespected. Like his legendary status or whatever, I feel like people don't really think of him anymore. Mm. Not anymore, but it's starting to go down a bit.
Well, I think he's just checked out on the league. He's, like he didn't show up.
Yeah.
He's like, yo, what? This is my moment. To hell with you guys.
When I think of Terrell Owens checking out of the league, I think about when just what he's done afterwards, and when Stephen A. got mad at him for what he said on First Take
about Max Kellerman. He said,
that was crazy.
He said Max Kellerman is blacker than you. That is one crazy of the all-time television moments in history.
I maybe would have fought him.
At it from Max Kellerman's perspective. He must have been so happy in that moment.
T.O. was so in shape.
That was also where he probably sealed his fate at ESPN. But
I was going to say, T.O. was so in shape, too. Remember, they used to be, T.O.'s 43. Could he still play in the league? I always bought it. Yeah, T.O. can go out there and tear anyone up.
You could ask that question today.
Yeah.
Did you ever see the reality show he had with the two assistants?
Yeah, where he cried. That's what I remember. I was like, poor T.O.
He went back to see grandma or something.
Poor T.O.
T.O. an emotional dude.
His son is doing all right in camp. From things that I hear, like not like he's crazy greater, but he's holding his own out there in 49ers camp.
Sorry, Kyle, he said practice squad wouldn't be like the craziest thing. Like, he won't make the full roster, but maybe has a chance at practice squad.
Where do you go? I think like Arkansas State or something like that. Mm. Like a real nondescript school.
T.O. was Tennessee State?
Tennessee.
Or Middle State.
No, Tennessee
State. Oh, okay.
Chattanooga,
yeah.
Chattanooga, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, so that'd be dope to see his son in the league in some form or fashion, you know, practice squad, work your way up, whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But I heard he's doing okay. I heard he's doing okay out there. You know, before James gets here and we are talking a little 49ers, can I talk a little bit, just 2 seconds? You think it's a good idea?
D-Lo and KC, and the lady thought I was KC, so it's really KC and KC, so go ahead.
I was thinking about the Niners or whatever the case may be, and there's one thing that does concern me about the Niners.
Okay.
Last year, they didn't get it done, and I don't know how they get any better than what they had last year. Last year seemed like the year they were supposed to win the Super Bowl. That was the best team they've had in 30 years.
Yeah.
The best opportunity they've had in 30 years. They, for the most part, obviously you had your Baltimore, obviously you had your 3 weeks when people were hurt and all this other stuff. But for the most part, they ran through the league in the season. Then, you know, you had some close games in the playoffs, but you had this incredible comeback against Detroit. And last year just felt like the year. And I just, as an outside observer, a lot of the times when I talk about like the Niners and stuff like that, or just sports in general, I speak from maybe how an athlete is look at it. Like, I don't look at Fred Warner saying like, man, last year was the best team. I don't know how he's going to be like, no, this is a new year. We're going to figure out a way.
Mm-hmm.
But as an outside observer, it's just like, man, that was the year last year for this core group. Like, they may get another core group in 2 or 3 years and do something different with them. But with this, the Kittles, the Debos, Trent Williams, those guys, it felt like last year was the year.
I wonder how much a season like last year does on them mentally. Because, like, talent-wise and all that, they're there still and all that. But like you said, they've been going at this for 5 years now, and I feel like last year was the one's like, yes, like, this is it. Maybe even for them, they're like, yes, this is the year or whatever. And it's like, you still came up short again. You're going to come out again this year, just the same mentality, all the stuff locked in as you can be and all that. Is she going to do it all again?
And then last year was so stupid, too, because maybe they would have lost anyway. I'm not saying this is the reason why they lost, but you get to that game, and you've got everything you need there. And there were so many things that you had to overcome in that game, right? Like, McCaffrey's just, like, one of the best players in the league. And it is supremely prolific in taking care of the football. And he fumbles on your opening drive.
Mm-hmm.
Then Dre Greenlaw rips his Achilles running out onto the field.
Yeah.
And then my boy Ray-Ray McCloud just randomly hits his foot. And, like, that was, like, kind of the only time the Chiefs – move the ball aside from the last drive, but that was the only time they got into the red zone, it felt like, and they were able to score. And it was like, man, you had to overcome so much, and you were right there, had an opportunity to win, and it didn't happen. And it's like, I'm worried about
that. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
A
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.